Hello, this is Dalia Masaci, writing coach for social change makers, public speaker, and author of Writing to Make a Difference, 25 Powerful Techniques to Boost Your Community Impact. Welcome to Writing Wednesdays, your opportunity to get essential writing tips and advice, as well as get and give feedback on a wide range of documents that you are asked to write. By working together as a virtual community, we will help each other improve our pieces and better engage our readers. On Writing Wednesdays, we always discuss several tips of the month on the selected topic, and then we go no later than 45 minutes past the hour. Sometimes we review samples that were submitted for that month. Sometimes we speak with a special guest, as we're doing today, and sometimes we even do a writing exercise together. Today's topic is growing your community through blogging, and I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, Allison Jones. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So pleased to have you. Let me tell you a little bit about Allison. She is passionate about connecting people to the resources they need to change the world. In her current role as editor, she engages the idealist community on social media and manages idealistcareers.org. We'll hear all about those, the idealist community and idealistcareers.org. When Allison is not working, she's blogging about how millennials can create careers that make a difference at AllisonJ.org. That's her personal blog. She also explores her New Jersey neighborhood by foot, and she makes a mess in her own kitchen, according to her. I've been affiliated with idealist.org for several years, and I'm delighted to have Allison here joining us today. Let's just jump right in, and let's go to the website for today's call. It's writingtomakeadifference.com, always the website for Writing Wednesdays. And you'll see the first post on there is about today and Allison Jones. I just wanted to have you scroll down just a bit so you can see her photo there, so you can associate a face with a voice. And if you click right under her picture where it says continue reading, click on that, and you can see the full blog post, which includes some recommended reading that I think Allison is going to point us to at some point during today's call. Mm-hmm. So let's start out just setting the scene a bit with idealist.org. Tell us what that is and why it started the new blog called Idealist Careers.
Sure. Idealist.org is we're a global nonprofit that connects people to resources, opportunities, and community so they can take action on causes that they care about. We're pretty well known for our job board. So currently we have over 11,000 jobs posted on our site by nonprofits, social enterprises, and government agencies from around the world. And each day we get over 100,000 people who visit our site looking for those opportunities and looking for resources and other people to connect with. And we've been around for about 20 years. And Idealist Careers was started last year, basically in response to the fact that, you know, when I got here about 2 years ago, we had one blog, and it was just sort of a mishmash of the different topics that really, you know, reflect our website to a certain extent. I mean, people come to us for different things, but the reality, I think, was that, you know, we're known for our job board, and a lot of folks were coming to us looking for jobs, particularly jobs in the nonprofit sector. And so I thought, what if we created a blog for them, for these job seekers who are looking for nonprofit opportunities? And that's how the blog was born. It launched last February, so we're a little over a year old now.
Great. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
So the Idealist Careers blog is really trying to narrow it down specifically for that audience, the job seekers. As opposed
That's
to the
right.
mishmash.
Exactly. And really the big thing was segmentation. I mean, idealist.org, you know, we are, like I said, we're 20 years old, and we, you know, we have over 100,000 people come to our site every day, over 2 million visitors a month. And so we're, you know, I think we are at this point over, you know, 90,000 organizations on our site. I mean, we are a pretty large community, and I think it was clear to us that, you know, it's okay for us to segment a bit more because of our size. And so if we're going to segment and start, you know, producing new content, original content, what's the best topic, what's the best focus, and the job seeker one made the most sense.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to take a step back a little bit there. So you decided on establishing a new blog. Why did you choose the blog as a platform in the first place?
You know, we did have a blog when I came on board, but I think blogs allow you to do many things, and you can use a blog in different ways. I think in the larger conversation now, people are talking a lot about content marketing, and so how do you leverage different kinds of content, whether it be blog, social media, video, whatever, you know, what have you, to grow your audience and deepen engagement with your audience. And so that's really, so the question was, you know, how do we create a space where all these job seekers can get better information. So they're coming to us for jobs. I'm certain that they would love some information on resumes. And you know, we did have a nonprofit careers info center, but the information there was very static. And a blog allows us to provide fresher content, regular content. It also allows us to bring in different voices. And so, you know, we do have, you know, quite a few guest bloggers who write for us regularly, sometimes one-off, sometimes, you know, once a month, to really share different insights on, you know, different aspects of building a career in the nonprofit sector. So a blog gave us an opportunity to strengthen our position as the place for people who want nonprofit jobs while also roping in better and better engaging the community of job seekers that we have.
Do you think that specific blog is helping the Idealist brand? I know the Idealist brand is pretty out there. It's been out there for quite some time, as you said, and it's pretty strong. But do you think the blog is enhancing any particular part of that?
Yeah, I think so, in terms of putting us in front of people who might not have heard of Idealist. So even though Idealist.org definitely, we have a strong presence in many places, but there are still lots of people who don't know about us. And they come to us now, for example, if someone goes online and they Google, you know, resumes for a nonprofit job, they get Idealist Careers, and that then funnels them to Idealist.org. So we, you know, for example, the blog does send quite a bit of traffic to the main, to Idealist.org. And I think, you know, we do have a lot of people, but there's always more people that we can reach. Different websites are engaging with us now. So, for example, our content is syndicated on different, like, you know, we've been featured in Business Insider, we've been featured on Lifehacker, you know, all these communities that traditionally are not closely aligned with the concept of nonprofit jobs. But when you create content that is helpful, when you create content that is interesting, you know, lots of different people want to pick up on it. And as a result, you're better able to reach people who might not have otherwise known about you.
Okay, that's great. That's really interesting that a blog can help broaden your audience and reach places that you may not have reached before. So, yeah, that's a wonderful,
definitely.
Wonderful component of blogging as really helping your brand advance.
Definitely.
Okay, so you mentioned that you really are focusing on your audience as being job seekers. And are you segmenting that further, or how do you figure out what issues are going to be of most interest to them?
A lot of it is experimentation, seeing what articles move, what people respond to. We also did a survey of our readers about a month or so ago to get a better sense of what it is that they want. And we've definitely, you know, refined the content a bit more. Originally, it was just, originally it was job seekers, so job search content, so things about resumes, cover letters, interviews, that kind of stuff. And then it was career advancement content, so, you know, things like how to ask for a raise, how to position yourself for a promotion and that kind of stuff. But I think over time, you know, I realized that some of that stuff wasn't really resonating with our community. It wasn't really getting read. It wasn't really getting shared. And so asking more questions, digging into the responses. So, for example, looking at comments more thoughtfully, seeing what kinds of questions people ask in response to certain kinds of posts, you know, going beyond. So now we're shifting the content we create. Yes, we're still focusing on job seekers, but we're also expanding it a little bit to help people once they get the job. So, for example, our content content, you know, is definitely job seeker nitty-gritty stuff. Again, we're still focusing on the resumes, cover letters. And one thing I learned from the survey that we recently did is a lot of nonprofit job seekers don't actually have places to go to get this information. So when they are looking for resumes or cover letters or whatever it might be, they just hit up Google search. So it's not like they, you know, oh, this, so we're obviously filling a need in that regard in terms of people wanting a place to go to help them find a job that makes a difference. So giving them that nitty-gritty information is very helpful. Another category of content we have now is, you know, finding your passion and purpose. So I learned over the past year or so that, you know, people who want to work in the nonprofit sector who are deliberately saying, yes, this is a space for me, this is the kind of career that I want, these are purpose-driven people. So they want, you know, they want to know that the work that they're doing is making the world better. So what does that mean, though? So creating content that helps them, you know, answer that question. What does it mean to follow my purpose, to find my purpose, to make a difference? The other bit of content we talk about is, you know, working better and dealing with things like balance and burnout. So you have folks who say, yes, you know, I want to make a difference and all that good stuff, but how do you, you know, what does self-care look like, you know, if you're in this space? And another area of content is leadership development. So a lot of folks want to know, you know, once you get the job, how do you grow? And it's not so much about promotions and getting a raise, you know, even though those things are important, it's more about what does authentic leadership look like and feel like for people who want to have, who want to make a difference. So that make a difference element runs a bit deeper than I originally thought. And teasing that out even more to create different kinds of content came through conversations, through surveys, but also just paying attention to data and paying attention to comments.
Yeah, I really like the idea of really looking closely at those comments and letting them challenge you a little bit
lead
you to additional questions to then improve the site. Yeah, I like that idea. Excellent. So you did some kind of online survey. And
yes.
How big was that survey?
We got a couple hundred responses to it. You know, the survey itself, we let it run for about a week. And it asked questions, you know, asked for some demographic data, how old are you, you know, what's your highest level of education obtained. But one of the questions that I asked was, you know, what's your greatest fear when it comes to your career? I forget the actual wording of this question, but what does your ideal career look like? What kind of content are you looking for? Where do you go for career content? You know, I asked where do you go for career content because I thought, A, you know, to get a sense of what people are reading, but also B, see if there's a space for potential partnerships, right? So if our audience really loves this particular magazine or this particular website or what have you, how do I reach out to that publication and say, can we share content? Can we, you know, work with each other or something like that to better serve our readers? And like I said, you know, it was surprising to see that there are lots of folks who really, you know, they might ask a friend, but Google is their, you know, their career advisor. You know, so whatever comes up at the top of the Google search is what they go to. And now, you know, it was great to see that they're happy that Ideals Careers is a new resource for them. But it was just interesting to see that lots of folks really don't have a go-to. And so it helps me, you know, this we're obviously filling a need here with this blog.
Great. So that really gave you a lot of information, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of for both your organization kind of in general for Idealist Careers and very specific, like, okay, what are some things that they're not, that people are not finding elsewhere? Very particular things that you know that you wanted to hit upon. Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Well, you talked a little bit about what you've learned, like from the survey and the comments and et cetera over the past year or so. Are there any other particular things that you find really challenging when you're launching it or as you go forward maintaining and editing the blog?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, getting, you know, some topics are easier to get writers for than others. So even though, for example, the backbone of the content is job search nitty-gritty stuff. So when I say nitty-gritty, I mean highly tactical, practical advice on resumes, cover letters, interviews, job searching. You know what I mean? Like really stuff. Like, for example, last month our most popular post was 13 email templates that you can use throughout your entire job search. So when you want someone someone to make an introduction on LinkedIn. You know, oh, I see that you know so-and-so. I'm interested in their company. You know, can you introduce me? What does that email look like? You know what I mean? So just like really highly tactical stuff. Those are the things that are the hardest to get people to write about and to get them to write about well, because it has to go beyond platitudes. It has to be slightly unconventional. It has to, you know, zone in on an aspect of the job search that most people might not realize is troubling. So it's not enough to say how do you network or how do you grow your network. You have to talk about how do you grow your network if you're moving to a new city. How do you grow a network? How do you grow your network when you are an introvert and so you're not, you know, really interested in going out very much? You know, like really, like getting very specific and offering very tactical advice. I find that that's the hardest to get people to write about. And, you know, I mean, I'm not entirely sure why. I think it might be that they might not, if you're a successful job seeker, you know, it requires a bit of, you know, reflection to figure out what it is that really helped you. But I also think it's the kind of thing that just requires people who sit and think about that kind of thing regularly to write about. Not a lot of people think about this stuff regularly until they have a problem with it. So getting people to write about certain topics is definitely the hardest part of running a blog. You know, all of our writers are volunteers, and so it's very possible, you know, I'll have someone who'll blog for, you know, 2 or 3 months, and, you know, they blog once a month, and then that's it. I have had writers who've been with me from the very beginning, but a lot of folks, you know, again, because it's a volunteer opportunity, you know, they do peter out over time, so that can be challenging as well.
Mm-hmm. You said, Allison, that you're very interested in finding writers on very specific topics, and mm-hmm. they need to be a bit unconventional. So mm-hmm. you said going beyond platitudes and really getting into the trenches of it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really important. That seems to me like a good tip for those who want to develop a blog that people actually read. You mm-hmm. would think about things that may not be covered elsewhere or that may not be covered very thoroughly elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, have a different take on something that is supposedly common knowledge. I like that idea to go into that. Yeah. And speaking of that, I was just wondering, are there any other kind of best practices that you'd like to share, because people on this call are going to be working on their own organization's blogs. They may be starting one, or they may be trying to enhance one that's been around for a while.
Sure. I mean, I think the main, at least in my experience, the big question I usually get is I don't know what to write about when it comes to figuring out a blog. And I think for me, what was really helpful in starting this blog, and then just in my own personal experience with blogging, you know, trying to figure out what you want to write about, it comes to getting at three things. You're good at it, no one else is doing it, and your audience wants it. And Katya Anderson, she's the one who outlined those three points in a blog post of hers when she was working at, I believe, Network for Good. But she said that's really all of your content, not just your content, your programs, anything that you do really should meet at the intersection of those three points. You're good at it, meaning that, you know, this is your area of expertise, right? You shouldn't, it's important to, and sometimes I think it feels like when you hone in on something, when you narrow your focus, it feels like you're leaving out other interesting things. But when you're just starting, mm-hmm. I mean, having a narrow focus is key. You can always build out, but you don't want to be unwieldy. You want to make sure that when people come to your blog, they know what they're going to get within a few seconds of looking at it. So what are you really good at? What's your area of expertise? No one else is doing it. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You don't want to talk about things that other people are talking about. You know, so looking at the landscape of other organizations, and what are they writing about, if they're writing at all? You know, and how can you, again, you know, position yourself like we just talked about, unconventional, you know, just, you know, a different take on something. And finally, your audience wants it. You know, what are the questions you're always getting? You know, what are some of the topics that always seem to be coming up among your community, and how can you use a blog to answer them, or at least, you know, position the content around them? So really trying to find, because that's definitely the biggest question I always get is, I don't know what to write about. What should we write about? And that's, I think, a good place to start with looking at those three points. Setting aside time to do the work to do the blogging. So, you know, you have to plan. I think it's not, if you say you're going to blog, you need to set aside the time to do it. And I know that that sounds pretty obvious, but for most people, blogging is one of many other things that they would be doing, particularly if you're working at a nonprofit, right? So unless you, for example, I'm very lucky in the sense that Idealist is big enough organizationally that I can devote time to doing this as the bulk of my time. But most folks, they're a program manager slash fundraiser slash blogger. You know what I mean? And so it's very easy to let that blogger thing, to let the blogger side fall while you focus on the very hard work of fundraising or managing that program. But if you want to see the benefits of blogging, you have to set aside time to do it. So that might mean setting aside, you know, maybe you're doing, you know, setting aside, you know, 2 hours a week and you're going to, you know, spend, you know, some time writing it and then promoting it, you know, so saying, you know, I'm going to make the time to do this is really important. And the last thing is just to have a calendar. And it feels overwhelming to create an editorial calendar, but it doesn't have to be. Just identify the, you know, key topics that you're going to talk about and plot it. You know, like Mondays on Idealist Careers are job search days. That's when I talk about the nitty-gritty job search stuff. Tuesdays are about passion and purpose. What does it mean to follow your passion? What does it mean to have purpose? Wednesdays are things about balance and working better. So preventing burnout, you know, feeling good at work, you know, taking care of yourself. Thursdays are about leadership. What does it mean to be a leader? That kind of thing. I plot it out. I'm very deliberate about it. And I think some people feel uncomfortable with it because it feels very formulaic. But all communications, you know, are strategic. I think blogging and social media in particular have this air of being, you know, just going with it, just, you know, having fun with it and going with the flow. And don't get me wrong, you can do that. But I think if you're pressed for time and if you want to be successful, you have to plot it out and you have to set aside time to say, this is what we're going to talk about on Mondays. This is what we're going to talk about on the third Wednesday of every month. And of course, be flexible. But generally speaking, do not be afraid to say, this is what I'm going to do Monday. This is what I'm going to do Tuesday if you're blogging every day, what have you. You know, and it will change over time. My editorial calendar now does not look anything like what it did, you know, a year ago. And I'm okay with that, but I definitely still have a calendar.
Right, right. So do I. And I know that it's kind of widely used across the communication spectrum. In fact, we had Writing Wednesdays about specifically editorial calendars. that is a wise idea. And your blog, writing for your blog can be on a calendar that is coordinated with the other things your organization is doing as well. So it doesn't have to be kind of a standalone. It can be part of, you know, what you're doing in other communication channels and in general in your organization. So you talked a little bit about you mentioned blogging every day, and my guess is that most people are not going to have the time to do that. So
right.
Do you have like a recommended frequency or maybe even the length of like how many words should a blog be?
What we do at Idealist Careers, we usually publish twice a day, and each post is anywhere between, you know, if it's a shorty, it's usually around 300 to 500 words. If it's a feature piece, it's between 600 and 800. It might be longer than that. And I blog twice a day because there's so much information to share partially. It's a good way to rope people in, and I think, generally speaking, having fresh content is a good way to position yourself as an organization that stays on top of trends if that's your goal. If your goal is simply to engage your community or to, you know, let people know, oh, this is, you know, this is what you've done, you know, obviously whenever you're creating content, your audience should be at the center of it. So don't have a blog, for example, that's just a list of the different things your organization did. It's about the community you serve. So, you know, just it really depends on your time. I would say at least once a week, honestly. And personally, one thing I'm going to be experimenting with is publishing once a day, but having the post be what I call an epic piece. So an epic piece, it's long. It might be 1,000 words, but it's full of helpful information, resources, links, tips, thoughtful questions, like the kind of piece that really sparks a lot of conversation. And so I'm thinking of going in that route, but again, those kinds of pieces are incredibly challenging to do, but I think they lean towards being a little bit, having more staying power. So, but it really depends on your organization and your capacity, what you're trying to do. And actually, it brings me to one of the links I put up for this call is 5 goals for a nonprofit content marketing strategy. So this article, it talks about different positions, right? And so are you going to be an authority? Are you going to be thought leader? Are you going to be a helpful friend? Those that, even though she's talking more about tone and approach to your content, I think it's a really, the way that she frames it can actually help you figure out what the goals of your content are, and then that should determine, in addition to how much time you have, how often you're blogging and what you're blogging about as well. So if you are trying to be a trusted authority, like if you work with young people and you know that these are the key things that we need to better serve young people throughout the country, you know, you might not need to publish every day, but the stuff that you publish might need to be very well researched, may need to come from probably perhaps an executive at your organization just to have that influential appeal. You know what I mean? If that's the purpose of your blog. Mm-hmm. If your blog is to be more friendly, you know, and to build community, you know, among the people that you serve, or you know, just to build a sense of kinship, you know, you might lean more towards, you know, photos of the kids that you serve. If you have permission to do that kind of thing. But like, you know, it might be, you know, maybe, you know, it doesn't need to be a thoroughly vetted, long, thoughtful piece. It might just need to be, you know, like I said, a quick photo, or, you know, having someone from the community write about, you know, something interesting that they've recently done. You know, again, it depends on the purpose. So your purpose dictates, and your purpose and your capacity dictate how often, how long, and the focus of your content.
You know, Allison, I so agree that the purpose is really key. I mean, you can't really think about what you're going to write about or how often or really anything mm-hmm. until you know why you're writing in the first place. Like, what purpose is your blog going to serve for your various communities? And I kind of like going back to the editorial calendar idea that you have of every day of the week having a different type of content. You might mm-hmm. even think about mm-hmm. each of those different days has kind of a different purpose. And you mm-hmm. might end mm-hmm. up getting different audiences for those different days.
Right, absolutely.
You know, if I were a job seeker and I need that, what you call nitty-gritty information, I
yes.
would tune in
mm-hmm.
on that day. But
right.
let's say I got a job and I'm interested in career advancement or whatnot, then I would tune in on that specific day.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
So it's kind of all tied in together. We've been talking a lot about creating the blog and managing the blog. And you mentioned earlier the idea of promoting the blog. Can you kind of explain that a little bit, both on social media and in other ways?
Sure. So so for Idealist Careers, we promote the blog. We leverage social media for sure. We include blog posts in some of our email alerts. So every day, and I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but lots and lots and lots, hundreds of thousands of people sign up on idealist.org to get job alerts. And so we put recent blog posts at the top of those alerts. As a way to make sure that our community sees it. In addition to that, Idealist Careers itself has a separate email list for people who want who want to stay more in touch with the blog. So if you get your job alerts, you might see the blog post, which is helpful, but you're probably focusing on the jobs that are recently, you know, posted on our site. So the Idealist Careers email list itself is another way that we promote it, with people who say, you know, I really want to know what's happening on this blog. I want more information about this on this topic. So we have an email list. We promote it through the idealist.org email list. We use social media. We created a separate social media handle for Idealist Careers, and that's partially because Idealist, even though we're known for our job board, a lot of people use idealist.org for many, many reasons, and so we want to make sure that our content still reflects the different things that people use our site for. So we want to make sure that on, you know, Facebook and Twitter for Idealist, we're not all careers, because again, lots of people come to us to volunteer, to hire, to connect with other people on the site, you know, all kinds of things. So we want to make sure that our general social media appeals to those things, while, you know, Idealist Careers, we can just be, you know, career focused 24/7. So again, separate social media handles. Content syndication is a big part of our strategy. So we, you know, like I said, we were picked up by Business Insider. We have a formal relationship with them where we say, we're okay with you publishing our content on your site. And same thing with, you know, other sites like Brazen Careerist, which focuses on young job seekers. We had a content partnership with YNPN, Young Nonprofit Professionals Network, where, you know, we had a couple folks from the network write for us, and any content that they created was shared with the YNPN community. So again, thinking about content partnerships, where who are the people who would be interested in the stuff that we're writing and would want to share it with their community. Guest posting on other sites is another big thing. So I spent a lot of time looking at different publications and just engaging reporters or editors on those sites, pitching myself to those sites. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's a big part of it as well. So getting our content out there to other publications whose audiences might benefit from it.
Okay. Yeah, I see. So it's all about getting other websites to kind of pick you up or exchange blog posts. So you might carry some of theirs as well,
yep.
or have some of their
Definitely.
Folks write for you and vice versa. So yeah, that's a great idea. Is there anything else related to social media that you would recommend? I went to idealistcareers.org and I noticed that there was Storify, that it was connected through Storify. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about that kind of thing?
Sure. So using social media to both push and pull content for the blog. So yes, when we publish something, it'll go out on Twitter, it'll go out on Facebook, but we recently had a Twitter chat with DevX, and DevX is an organization that helps people find jobs in international development around the world. So they have resources, jobs, they host events, all that good stuff, and they focus exclusively on international development. So we had a Twitter chat with them last Tuesday on breaking into international development, what you need to know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it was great. People participated, and I took some of the best answers and resources, and I put that, and I used Storify, because Storify is a great resource that you connect it to your Twitter account and you put in a hashtag or anything that you're really looking for, and it'll pull all of the tweets connected to that hashtag, and then you can organize it into a story. So you can organize so that people who missed the conversation can then flip through it and say, oh, okay, that looks interesting, whatever, you know. So I use Storify to take those tweets and put it into a short slideshow. So, you know, so I started with the first question, responses to it, and, you know, did the whole Q&A thing so that people who didn't come to the chat can take a look. So that's an example of pulling content from social media. So it started as, you know, here it is, a Twitter chat, and it's total, you know, it's all on Twitter, and now I just turn it into a blog post, and I use a different resource or platform to help me do that as well. So there are different ways of doing that. You can use social media in so many ways. You can push and pull, just making sure that that you just are very deliberate about it. You know, I also think in terms of when I'm looking at data, you know, what some pieces do better on social platforms than others. You know, I find, for example, I also manage social media for Idealist, the organization as a whole, and I find that, you know, really feel-good, warm and fuzzy stuff does really well on Twitter. You know, people love to, you know, just a quick headline of a good story people really like. I think on Facebook, people like things a little bit deeper. They like things that are provocative. You know, definitely they like the inspirational stories for sure, but the stuff that does really well there, the stuff that travels, is generally stuff that's really, really useful or really, really provocative. So being mindful about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm sure there are lots of other ways that you use social media and search engine optimization, or SEO, to drive traffic to your website. And I like the idea of pushing and pulling from social media, crafting that content in other ways.
Right.
But it's a nice, concise way of having people follow that conversation or pick up content from elsewhere and put it on your own website. I like that. Very clever.
Definitely.
I've also heard of something called blog carnivals, and I was wondering if you have a take on that.
Yeah, so a blog carnival, there's a really popular one. There's a nonprofit blog carnival. Different blogs, a different blog will host it, I think, every month, and there's a topic. you submit it to the person who's hosting it, and then you submit one of a blog post of yours that's related to that topic, and then they, you know, if they select it, they put it into a roundup at the end of the month. I think it couldn't hurt. I don't think there's any, you know, they're pretty easy, depending on if someone in your field actually is hosting them. Obviously, the nonprofit one is broad enough for the entire sector, but the challenge with that mm-hmm. is there might not be anything actually related to what you regularly write about. So right. It depends if it's happening. I don't actively participate in them. If there's a topic that that releases something that we write, you know, I think our writers will pitch something. So in the last nonprofit blog carnival, one of our blog posts was submitted, was featured, and was submitted by, I think, the writer herself, which is great. But I don't actively participate in them, not because I don't like them or anything like that. I'm finding that the guest posting of certain things is what's been really helpful in terms of gaining momentum on the blog. So I haven't had a chance to really focus on engaging blog carnivals just yet, but I'm aware of them. And you know, like I said, the nonprofit blog carnival is pretty popular.
Yeah, so that might be a good strategy for some to help get their content out elsewhere. Okay, great. Well, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about what your plans are for developing idealistcareers.org in the future.
I'm trying to do is put together an HR council. So we have, obviously, all these jobs, people are posting them, usually hiring managers or HR folks. And what I'm trying to do is engage them in very easy, quick ways. So, for example, I might send a poll out that says, you know, or when I ask people to sign up, I ask them to include one tip that they would recommend for a job seeker. And so far, we've had a few nonprofit HR folks sign up, and the advice, interestingly enough, all falls along the lines of follow directions and tailor your application for the job. But those kinds of things where I'm making a simple ask of an HR person. So, you know, what advice would you recommend for someone who wants to get a job at a human rights organization? What would you recommend, you know, like short questions to HR folks or polls or whatever have you to give me a better sense, to bridge the gap actually between, you know, what job seekers are doing, what HR wants. So I spent a lot of time talking to job seekers. I definitely need to talk to HR folks to make sure that I'm giving the best information, and also just a fun way to engage HR, our HR community as well. So I just started playing around with that like a month ago. I don't have any, you know, I have a few folks who signed up, very different organizations that have signed up, oddly enough, but, you know, I'll have more to share and hopefully in a few months or so. But that's one thing that I'm really, really trying to do, trying to be more deliberate about just roping in different voices to better serve our job seekers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, so it sounds like you're going to be kind of expanding to maybe a different subsection of your audience. Well, I wanted to thank you again, Allison Jones, for being our special guest today. I have learned a lot, and I'm sure other callers will as well. It would be great if folks want to contact Allison for any specific questions or make any comments. You can do that right there on the blog on writingtomakeadifference.com on that the blog for today's session. Feel free to leave a comment there. And if it's a question that you need answered by Allison, I will be sure to pass it along. You can also email her directly. What email address would you like them to use, Allison?
Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at idealist.org.
Okay, perfect. Today's recording will be on writingtomakeadifference.com in the Writing Wednesdays archive, as well as recordings of other recent Writing Wednesdays calls. You will receive a link via email if you've signed up to be on the Writing Wednesdays mailing list. If you have not done that yet, you can check on the right-hand side of any page on writingtomakeadifference.com and sign up right there. Writing Wednesdays are usually the first Wednesdays of the month, unless a holiday intervenes. And meanwhile, please let me know what you would like to discuss on future Writing Wednesdays calls. You can find a link on the right-hand column of the website to add your thoughts, 3 question surveys, what it's titled. Thanks again for coming, everyone, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Happy writing, and goodbye for now.